Blog Talk Radio.
Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord build the house, except he keep the city, the watchman waketh in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Know, children, are the heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. God has already had unction, blessing upon the reading of his word. For his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And God knows the footsteps. He orders. Are you listening this morning? He orders the footsteps of a righteous man. That means woman too. And though he fall, and though she fall, they shall not be utterly cast down. That means that God will not allow you, when you're desiring righteousness and you're walking in the pathway of what is right, you may not measure up to the standard of excellence, the performance stature, but God will have mercy upon you. He will unction, I love that word unction, upon you his grace, which is sufficient unto us in our weakness. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. And here, lo and behold, God says, I'm not going to let you slip, but I won't let you fall. Why? Because you represent what I have required upon this earth, a holy priesthood, a royal people, regal. We stand out. We stand above the crowd. That we should show forth the praises of him that brought us out of darkness, out of blindness, out of ignorance. Ignorance is blindness, that's darkness, into the marvelous light. And this is why he has set us in heavenly places in him, so that we may educate, we may advocate, we may exhort, we may instruct what is befitting in the kingdom of God, so that his kingdom come. And Christ our Messiah told us, thy kingdom come. It's here, now thy will be done. So if the kingdom has come, why isn't the will be done? Because of the ignorance of mankind, because of the stupidity of the human race that has went from amazing grace, as Adam, the first Adam did, unto a fallen state of total disgrace. And when you live in disgrace, you'll do any old thing. You'll say any old thing. You'll act out in any old way. Everything goes. Why? Because you're dwelling in ignorance. But see, God is a God of superior intelligence. And he unctions. I love that word unction. It's just somehow embedded within my psyche. God unctions his superior knowledge to us as living beings and gives us the superlative knowledge on how to instruct others and how to sidestep and sideswipe the wiles or tactics of the enemy and to crush him on every turn. And I'm going to tell you something. There's very few people that are walking in that pathway that functions this type of divine favor, because I told you about the latter rain. Latter rain is greater than the first rain. See, the first rain saturated the ground, got the ground wet. But see, the latter rain is what produced the elementation of productivity, of prosperity, of growth, of evidence of what it is that they believed. If you're not experiencing this evidence, you've got to take it back to the Genesis perspective and get the facts correct. God is a God of superior intelligence. He is a God of dignity. He is a God of class. He is a God that knows all, sees all, operates all, and is empowered over everything. is called sovereignty. Say it with me, sovereignty. And when you come to the knowledge of the truth, you will understand that his sovereignty reigns over all. Always shines above the crowd and above this mess that we see in the world. And you're talking about a messy mess. Mankind is created of his own volition because he refuses the knowledge of God. And when you refuse the knowledge of God, you are telling the enemy, fill me with your ignorance. Fill me with your stupidity so that I may waste time and in farewell with me. You're in fair hell with you. And all that you do shall crumble because you can't stand. What man can stand against God? What woman can stand against God? What man or woman can stand against God's anointed and appointed? None. They will be as grass under your feet, walked on by you as a believer in the truth and walking in the pathway of what's truth. There'll be but dust under your heel. And you know what you do with dust under your heel? You don't want to get anything else dirty. You just take it and just rub it against the pavement. And this is what the unrighteous are in our eyes. We're not serving a God who's limited or finite. He's infinite. We're not serving a God that's weak in land. We're serving an omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent God who loves those who love him the more. Even so, when we refused the truth, when we were living in ignorance, he had mercy upon us. You know why? Because he knows that he encoded greatness within us. Beneficial one day. Think about it. The dark path that some of us, we walked on, and yours truly will definitely tell you so in times of disobedience, God spared me in my ignorance. And you know why? Because he knew that the day would come that I would lead the nations, that I would lead leaders into true fellowship with him so that they would have the ability to overstep and deter as well as eliminate the obstacles that are preventing humanity from progressing and moving forward. So know that this is the relevant truth that we seek according to Scripture. I know the world says, you know what, if you get a good education, you hang around the right people, you got good looks, you can make it. That's a lie and a deception. You're limited. You're a finite being. I'm a finite being. It takes the divine favor of God to place you in those right locations where somebody notices the uniqueness, the relevance of your character. And we are a peculiar people. Let me tell you something. I'm glad I'm not a crowd pleaser, and I'm not a company teaser. You are unique. You stand out in the crowd. I stand out in the crowd. And a crowd of 1,000 people, something about you illuminates. Why? It's the power of God. Don't get big-headed and sideswiped and say that it's just, I'm so good-looking. Looks are limited. It means very little in the kingdom of heaven. It's wonderful that we've been blessed with beauty, but let me tell you something. The beauty of salvation is far more substantial and superlative than worldly connotations of beauty. That's right. It causes you to the illuminosity factor where you draw the positive energies in this universe, and they are at your disposal or at your hand to utilize in certain situations or circumstances. Well, you need divine favor because there are certain situations that you experience. I'm talking about those who are walking in the path of righteousness and not those who are dibbing and dabbing and living in the world and laying with fleas and walking around infecting others. I'm not talking about you. You need to get yourself in the stable of safety. You need to get yourself in the ark of anchoring, which is the very relationship with God, the God who made you. It doesn't matter how long you've been out there in the world. It doesn't matter how long that you turn your back on the truth and that you've done things that are not wholesome and good to the use of edification in your life. It's the point that you need to come to God. You need to come to him and ask him to forgive you and to create within you a clean heart, and to renew within you a right spirit, and to forgive you for your infractions against yourself, infractions against others, and infractions against the very essence of your existence. And he is just to forgive you and to wash you clean through the blood of our Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. That's right, because when he sees us, Father God has to see us through the eyes of Jesus Christ. He can't see us as the way we are, because why? We're born into sin and shaken unto iniquity. We no longer were his cute little spirit children that were not encased in physical imparchments known as bodies, physical bodies. That's replicant of the first Adam. That's right. And you know he went from amazing grace to total disgrace because he chose to be disobedient. So God cannot look upon the disobedient. God cannot look upon the sinner. He cannot look upon the hard-hearted. He cannot look upon the liars. He cannot look upon the backstabbers. He cannot look upon the adulterers and the fornicators. He cannot look upon those individuals who are living in that way because you're unclean. It's only when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and accept him as your Savior and ask Father God to forgive you through his name, God then can look upon you. And he says, though your sins be as scarlet, I'll wash you whiter than snow. What's whiter than white snow? There's nothing. Clorox can't do a better job than that. Romans can't do a better job than that. All cannot do a better job than that. OxyClean can't even do a better job than that. Borax, and how many of you remember Mule Team Borax? It was on those age-old commercials when we were little, small children. Well, I always had a specific liking for visual effect, and you see this mule, he would be pulling the load in this wagon, and this woman had these colonial type of clothing, and they were showing about how the Mule Team Borax would pull out those stains and whiten your whites to the point of blinding. Well, let me tell you something. It was considered dull. It is dull considered to how our Lord Jesus Christ, through his redemptive tithe, washes us whiter than that. That means that God casts everything that you did into the sea of forgiveness and forgetfulness. That is the prayer that God honors from a man or a woman who has not confessed him and came into the fold. Anything outside of that, it's only on his mercy's terms. He's not obligated to you. And if that's just the truth, I don't compromise, because you know something? I'm accountable for what I teach, what I instruct in the natural ramification of things. I'm accountable for my conduct as an educator. I'm accountable. I'm evaluated. My credentials are, you know, on the line as I instruct others. People are going to judge me by the very elementation of what I present. So therefore, my effectiveness in presentation is just as viable and a key element as well. So in the very essence of the spiritual concept, I'm far even more accountable as to what I teach, what I instruct. Because why? Your soul is a valuable thing. And you say, mind is a terrible thing to waste. Your soul is a terrible thing to waste. And why would you want to spend eternity separated from the God of the universe who made you and made me in his own image? That's right. Why would you neglect such a greater plan of salvation, of cleansing yourself from this world and cleansing yourself of people who never meant themselves any good and more so even meant you any good? Release yourself from the curse. The only way you're going to be broken from the curse and receive unto the blessing is through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's no other escape mechanism. Don't go to these people. And I'm going to tell you something before we go into the word of knowledge. And by the way, you all automatically know it. You're listening to Manna from on High, heard on all six continents, the largest, most productive, and most listened to time of biblical instruction, perhaps on the network, and I've been told on the network, perhaps in any other venues as well. Why? Because you get the true facts. Nothing dressed up, nothing compromised, nothing bossed. I'm unbossed, unbought, therefore I can never be undersold. And that's what you've got to do. Because the world is a tempting place. People will see the gift that stirs within you. Remember we talked last time about stirring up the gift? Well, let me tell you something. When you stir up the gift, and I've learned this from experience, there will be people that are waiting in the wings and saying, we could benefit from this gift. We could utilize this to be more productive and to gain more momentum and ability to control others through this person. You've got to have the power of God in your life. You've got to have that strong mono-emono relationship with him, not to fall victim. That's right. And I've toughened up my hide because the temptations are getting more and more perseverant. So definitely I have to persistently stay in prayer because I don't want to let my guards down, because I cannot afford to stray away into the wrong venue. And some people think, well, I'm above and beyond being tempted in that way. No, you're saying that because your area is limited. You're not well established. You're not well known. But when you start becoming more well known and more people are communicating with you and more people are attempting to connect with you and you're being asked to come to public venues and to present, or people are calling you, asking you for counsel, and asking you for your input, asking you to join various associations and establishments, you become more pronounced. And lo and behold, when the government is watching you, knowing that you have a gift that can foretell and forecast things, and you get confirmation about what you stated has been true, you know what? You become a very, very hot commodity. And that's why you have to dwell under the protection of He. That's right, of He that never sleeps and never slumbers. That's right. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And that's what we have to do. We have to abide under Him. That's why in His constant guard and watch, that the holy angels of God keep watch over us, even as we sleep. Because according to what I've listened to, and I don't know whether or not you believe in it, but we're living in the times that the days are so evil. The mankind has created numerous devices. I just want to say this before we go into the teaching of the word today. Created devices of highest echelon of sophistication, where they don't have to be in the room with you to listen to you. They don't have to be in the perimeter to spy on you. That's right. They have various measures and means. They have drones now, they say, that can actually fly in the air and transport and translate information, decipher codes, spy network on you, and things of that meticulous measure. So we know what we're dealing with. That's right. And when you've come into the placement where you have the activation of these gifts and they wonder how you knew what was going to happen before it happened, they keep you under watchful eye. That's right. And I don't know, in the secular setting of things, I want to mention to you about a movie. And I know many of you saw it. I didn't look at it straight through, but it's called Men Who Stare at Goats. It was out a few years back. But it's talking about how the government knew people that had the ability of remote viewing. They could see things as though it was like a fast-forward motion of an instant replay of things that could actually be helpful to the government, and they would use these people as inert operatives or people that would go inside of the sphere where they wanted to locate terrorists and other individuals who are a threat to society. And so they could get the whereabouts and the location of where those, you know, enemies of state were located. And they say that some of them had such a dexterity that they could actually foretell things. Well, you know something? God has given me that gift of prophecy. Many people have that gift, but they don't stir up that gift because they're afraid of what people are going to say about them or how people are going to look at them. Let me tell you something. At this day and time, I could care less because I know where God has taken me, where He has set me, and I'm continuing to prosper, and things in my life have just accelerated to the upbeat, and I'm happy. And I'm not going to let the enemy try to slip me a Mickey and get me else place and otherwise, and don't you do it. You know what? Stir up that gift within you. All that gift is proactive. It went from being dormant to being somewhat active, then it becomes fully active. Now it's accelerated modus operandi, fast paced forward. Now the gift has become proactive. That's right. Able to speak at a very level that really, really gets people to think. See, if we can get you to think outside of where you are, you'll begin to project vision. That's right. That's one gift of the elementation of being a prophetess, is one who speaks, prophesies that which is come or which is to come to pass. That's right. So we do have visions, and we do experience things that we're not able to even comprehend in words. So these gifts are elemental because they're spiritual gifts. See, that's categories of gifts. That's right. Some gifts are natural, and some gifts are spiritual. That's right. When you have a spiritual gift, it comes straight from God because it was genetically and spiritually encoded within you. That's right. So you see, when John was in the womb of his mother Martha, he leapt for joy. That's right, because why? The gift stirred within him as an infant. He knew that he would be one of the greatest preachers that ever lived. God encoded that with him. Why? Because the pathway had to be created so that the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus Christ, Yeshua, would be able to come in the path already be prepared. So John was the preempter of Christ coming into the world, preparing the path for him so that mankind would be redeemed from eternal separation from God. So these gifts are very super essential and substantial, and they have to be activated. That's why the word will stir up the gift within you. Get that gift off the shelf. Stop hiding things to those of you who are walking in the pathway of righteousness, because you're being stagnant. Every time you try to do something, it gets canceled out. Every time you try to go up, you get knocked down. God is telling you to stir up that gift within you so that all things in your life can come into divine order. That's right, into divine order. So just a word of encouragement this morning on this wonderful, fantabulous, fanatical Friday. Yes, it is. Friday, February the 20th, 2015. Another day, another chapter, not only from manna from on high, but from your perspective of your life, another given opportunity. That's right, indeed it is. And before we get into the word, and I know I'm saying a lot this morning, but that's okay, or this evening or afternoon, according to the reflective time zone that you're living in. Know that, you know what? There is no standard of measurement in the kingdom of heaven, so it's not important. That's right. But wherever you are, know that God will meet and greet you there. And let us be mindful. Please, 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 oh please, let us be mindful that there are men and women. I know many of you said you're one of the bravest, most courageous, most respected and recognized people that there is. Thank you for the compliments, but I'm not deserving of such merits because, no, I've never had to go hide in a corner after I made a presentation to a public audience, whether that audience was 50 or 500 or 5,000. I've never had to run and hide after I spoke to the audience. I've never had to go and literally go into hiding after I counseled with someone. I never had to go and to shadow myself in a place where no one could identify me after I had a public engagement. I've never had to do that. Thank you, Lord, and I bless your name for it. But there are men and women, and this is burdened upon me, and I've got to say this. There are men and women throughout the world. They're not necessarily so in the continental U.S. of A. They're in other places around the world. Listen to me. Listen. They're in Asia. They're in Africa. They're in some elements of Europe. They're in some places in Australia. That's right. They are being persecuted. I mean persecuted. And see, persecution comes in a diversity of ways. Let me tell you something. Sometimes persecution doesn't come necessarily so with people standing over your shoulder saying, you've got to be quiet, you can't say that again. Sometimes persecution comes from laws. And many people are saying that, you know, the law is about to shift the paradigms here in America and religious freedom is about to be taken away. No, but see, he that the Son has set free, understand this, is free and free indeed. So God is not going to allow that to happen. And before he does, he will crack the limitation of this vortex and cause all the evildoers and the oppressors, whether they be government officials, whether they be civilians or militia or military staff or personnel, to fall into their own abyss. He said, because the gospel has to be preached throughout the world. So America is considered the stronghold, once the anchor of true belief in God and the Lord Jesus Christ. But there are other men and women who are around the world, that have experienced persecution and are experiencing persecution as you hear my voice ringing through the parameters right now. Listen, these men and women are attempting to preach the gospel, attempting to reach those who are lost, who are attempting to pray in public places, where they can bring people together, where they can receive the knowledge of Jesus Christ. They're attempting to break those strongholds because they know that they have a mission. They have been encoded with an assignment. And the anointing of the appointment has been verified. And here the enemy is using laws, legislation, religious establishments to persecute and to stagnate the preaching of the gospel, the deliverance of people, the healing manifestation of God. I want you to stop where you are with me and pray for those men and women. We don't know them name by name, but they're our sisters and our brethren. Some of them don't look like us. It doesn't matter. Because you know what? In the Lord, there is no Jew and no Greek. There is no bond nor free. There is no male nor female. We are all unified in one spirit. And we want to stop and speak a word of prayer on their behalf. Father God, we're asking that you and your loving kindness and your tender mercy, please, Father God, protect those men and women who are putting their lives on the line to speak forth the gospel of your Messiah, of our Messiah, of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. We're asking that you put your arms of protectance around these men and women, and anoint them with thy presence, with thy beloved spirit. Encase them. Let your love unfold them. Let your presence overwhelm them. And that you be glorified. And that men and women of all walks of life, of every creed, nationality, and color, discover the greatness of your presence through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in which we have access to you, our Heavenly Father. Father God, we thank you for healing in our bodies. For our Messiah, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of our peace was upon his shoulders, by whose stripes we were healed. We thank you for prosperity. We know that as the cattle on a thousand hills is yours, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, and them and all they that dwell therein. We thank you that no good thing will you withhold from us to those that walk upright, and that we delight ourselves in you, and you shall give us the desires of our heart. We thank you, Father God, for all these blessings in thy blessed Son, Jesus Christ's name. We praise you, we glorify you, we magnify you exceedingly. Amen. And thank you for your mercy, your kindness, and destroying the presence of the enemy. Amen. So, let us look back as we were in the first book of Corinthians. We were in the 10th chapter talking about a powerful word, Apostle Paul. Really and truly put forth one of the most presentational pieces to me in the New Testament as being the chief letter writer of the apostles, second apostle in charge. And know that Peter, Simon Peter, was the first apostle in charge. Why was he the first apostle? Well, you know why? Because he was the only disciple that knew who Jesus Christ was. The rest of them were questionable and should have known. He said, even though you've been with me for these 3 long years, there was a song that says, you don't know me yet. But he knew who he was. I mean, Peter and all of his infractions and all of his anomalies, Peter knew. He knew. And Peter knew who he was. And he confessed, he said, thou art Christ, Son of the living God. Read the 19th chapter of the book of Matthew, and you'll see what I'm talking about. He knew. And he said, blessed art thou, Peter. He said, but flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee. This is our Messiah, our Savior talking. He said, and upon this rock, flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, but upon this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He said, behold unto thee, I give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. Whatsoever you bind upon earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose upon earth shall be loosed in heaven. So that's how Peter became the chief apostle. And his name means a rock. He was called Simon Peter. He later became called Peter, which means rock. That's right. And the name Paul, his previous name was Saul, Saul of Tarsus. But after the translation, he became known as Paul the Apostle. And Paul, that name is the terminology of warrior. So let us go back to the 10th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, the letter to the Corinthians, studying all things in divine order. Apostle Paul was fervent in his statements and definitely came to the point. Okay, we left off around the 11th verse. Now, all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. What is he saying? Apostle Paul is saying, now, I went through all of this explaining about how the children of Israel were tried and tested, and they were purged of those who were undesirable amongst them. Now it's a way of showing God being punitive and unmerciful, but a way to show you that God's tolerance of those who are ungrateful, of those who are disrespectful and disenchanting and go around whoring and seeking after other gods is entirely unorthodox. It's not acceptable. If something is unorthodox, it's not acceptable. And he said that at this, know that this is the rightful thing to do. Because when Moses, as you remember, when Moses was on Mount Sinai and he was praying and speaking to God and God was giving the Ten Commandments, the children of Israel, whom God had brought out with a swift and mighty hand, they were down there playing with enchantments, playing with witchcraft. They were fornicating with each other. They were adulterating with each other. They were bowing down to the golden calf. They had taken off their golden jewelry and had molded into a camp of worship because they said Moses has been gone too long, and so therefore he must be dead. We've got to have something and someone to believe in. And God showed Moses what the children of Israel were doing. And Moses was heated and certainly angered by these things, but God had a better way. He told Moses to take that rod. That rod was a rod of correction. That's why they get that term, the rod of correction. Moses took that rod and hit it on the ground. And when he did, that rod turned into a serpent. And whoever was not looking up in faith was bitten by the serpent and they died. But to those who looked up, they lived. And that's where the very anomaly of that jargon comes from, the look up and live. So he's saying all of these things, this was verification for us, what they experienced in the wilderness, okay, that God will keep that which is committed unto him until that day of redemption. And to those who believe, they received. They went into the promised land. They claimed their greatness. They enjoyed a life of happiness, joy, and prosperity. But to those who didn't, they died like fools because they refused to accept the knowledge of God. And this is what he's saying. 12th verse, wherefore let him that think if he standeth, take heed lest he fall. That means that to those who think that they have it all, they know it all, and can do it all without God's help and without God's guidance, you know what? You better reconsider again, because I've heard some people call themselves super Christians, mega Christians. Oh, they walk and talk all day long, and oh, this is a sin, that's a sin. You're not supposed to wear this. You better take this off. You know something? The scripture tells us moderate and temperate in all things. Moderate means modesty. And temperate, that means even, balance in all things. Not just to take away this, take away that. No, God didn't come to strip us of life. He said, I came that you might have life, and that more abundantly. But it's a certain mannerism in which you ought to live. And this is the whole standard behind this. 13th verse, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above ye, what ye are able, but will with that temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. I love that. What is Apostle Paul saying? He says, no, that God is not going to allow you to be put in any predicament or situation where there's, he does not have a masterful plan to deliver you. See, while he's delivering you, he's equipping you to lean and depend on him as opposed to have confidence in them. See, lean on him, no confidence in them. This is what he's teaching you. This is what he is manifesting in you. He's showing you people. Sometimes we get to a point, I was talking to a brother last night from Atlanta, Georgia, who had called, and we were encouraging one another, and the words of prophecy just began to come forth. And I told him that God has set you in a place in that corner because he's making you, he's molding you. I says, I've been in that predicament before. You can't move. Everything seems to be crumbling. God is trying to show you something. He is stirring up that gift within you. That's why, so that he can make manifold his greatness, because you've got a work to do. And when you are anointed, you stand out. When you are appointed, you're picked out. That's right. and you are picked out. That's right. You're picked out oftentimes to be picked on. That's right. Because, see, your appointment makes you in that very location where something is needed, because as I have been reminded, that every crisis brings forth a leader. And there's a crisis in the belief system in this land. So what happens? God appoints leaders. He appoints teachers. He raises up prophets, prophetesses, evangelists, some pastors to address what's needful now. It's by association, by appointment, and by the anointing predicates how effective you'll be. The appointment shows how well received you'll be. That's right. And those things. And the very elementation of what it is that we're being summoned to do. So he says, so know that this is not going to overtake you. God is raising up something great within you that cannot be compromised and cannot be mobilized. That's right. So wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. What's my Paul saying? So don't get caught up in the worldly system. See, idolatry is replicant of the worldly system. Don't get hung up. I saw so many people, and myself, I was taken by a series that I saw called The Book of Negroes, in which I never had even heard of this publication. And generally, I am an avid reader of history and the annals of history. When I begin to unfold, and oh my goodness, the most stagnant to me character in this was two women. It was a woman by the name of Amanata, who was taken from her homeland, witnessed both of her parents being killed, and taken into slavery, and accompanied with a man that she knew of who was also helping to catch slaves. This woman was taken as a very young child, and her life story began to unfold. And one another woman that was very significant in her life that helped to strengthen her and become the woman she became was a woman named Georgia, who literally had no education, and all she was a slave. But she took a special interest in this young girl by the name of Amanata. But Amanata had been self-educated. She could speak two languages. She had a vocabulary that, I'm telling you, the most eloquent of professors would be questionable about. That's right. She had it all. She had been gifted by God with the superior level of knowledge for her day and her time, which caused her to be in an area of appointment, who wrote the Book of Negroes, in which every Negro was broke into the annals of this document so that they could have contemplation of who they were, where they came from, and they could have a record as a census of who, you know, they were receiving into Nova Scotia, which is in the southern part of Canada. So I was just impressed with that. But nevertheless, I was able to understand that this is a history book. That's right. And we're living in the present. But some people get caught up in the fantasy of other things on television, these series, and get wrapped up in the characters, giving play-by-play coverage about what they're doing. You can't do that. It's nice to enjoy certain things because there's a message in things that we see on television. So I don't believe in saying television is a sin. No, there's nothing as unclean as itself. It's how you look at it, whether or not the determining factor of uncleanliness. I can look at certain things on TV that people deem as unclean, and I can pick up messages. You know something? See, a teacher never gets through teaching because sometimes the classroom is not the area of conflict where you get instruction. Sometimes I don't always get valid instruction in a place or location where people are walking the floor and telling me what's needful and necessary. Sometimes my most influential instruction comes through the television. I see things, see people, and put it together and say that there's a message in it. So you can garner these things when you learn to open up your mind and not be narrow-minded. He says, wherefore what? Flee from idolatry. Don't worship these things. Don't bow down. Oh, I can't live if they don't show the walking dance this week. And I've heard people say that. Oh, if they don't show, you know, empire, I can't make it through the week. No, that's unhealthy. Sometimes people look at these things as a way of validating their existence. It gives them some supremacy to live and to be alive. But no, your life is in Christ Jesus when you are a Christian. You know, these things are to be enjoyed in life, but they're not to be idolized. That's right, the people, because they're real-life people. Those are roles that they're playing. That is not whom it is that they are. They are flesh-and-blood individuals who have challenges just as you do. So you have to be able to substantiate that through spiritual knowledge and through wisdom. Listen, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, for God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we're able to ask and even think. And indeed, it has been a pleasure teaching you and being in this classroom of life so that we can share and network our experiences. Don't get sad, get glad, because we're coming back real soon and definitely Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. We will be concluding as to women in the area of ministry and how God uses women in a fabulous way, but we need to know our place so that we can fulfill that destiny in which God has acquired us to fulfill. You've got your host with the most from coast to coast, the Esquire, Abby A. Thump, saying, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We'll see you real soon. Oh, yeah.